I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Ever feel more affectionate toward pets than people? Can I get an amen? Yeah. Why is that? I mean, even if they're not yours, think how you treat them when you meet them. Oh, who's a good boy? That's a good boy. Right? About the only thing he has, does it bite, you know? And see, with people, we know they do. So that's right there. That's one of the differences. I was sitting in the back, if you were here last Sunday, I was sitting in the back when Noah quoted the last contestant standing. Do you remember the quote on the TV show Alone? Yeah, the contestant who said, and I quote Noah, who quoted him, saying, "Everyone should be so hungry that they enjoy sucking the eyeball out of a rabbit." Yeah. And if you were here, you know, we all gave this collective groan of revulsion, which the only reason we didn't know is because, you know, we heard it last Sunday. And I was sitting in the back and two ladies were cringing next to me. Ooh. And I said, well, at least he said rabbit, not bunny. Because would have just made it worse, right? But here's the question. Why did we react the way we did? And the answer is simple. Because bunnies are cute. Although that one, I got to say, is a real Bible thumper. Oh, and we, oh, I'm getting a slow clap. Okay, it's a Bible thumper. Bunnies are cute and we consider them as pets. And we relate to pets in a far more open, honest, and vulnerable manner than we do with people. But why? I boiled it down. I'll tell you, those hairy little mammals, and I mean the pets, so obviously need us and depend on us and don't hold our flaws against us. And dare I say, kind of unconditionally love us. But most of all, they just don't judge us, except for cats. And I'm just going to say it out loud. I hate being judged. You thought I was going to say cats. No, I love cats. We have a kitten at home right now. But he really does get on my nerves. Okay. I went to Hawaii, I don't know, it's been about 25 pounds ago. And I, that's the truth. And I bought a bottle of water at an ABC store and I spent a buck more because I liked the one in the dark blue bottle. It looked cool and it was a vacation splurge and that's my splurge, a dollar. And so, but when I went to pay, the lady at the cash register says in front of everyone very loudly, "Why are you buying the expensive water?" I'm holding myself back from doing any kind of accent. And I smiled and said, I just like it. And she says, "You know it's all the same, right?" And I said, "I know." And she looks at it and looks at me and very disapprovingly says, and I'm quoting, "Well, okay then," and rings it up. And I left offended and determined to never shop. I mean, they have 1,000 ABC stores. I'm never shopping at that ABC store again. And why do you suppose I'm thinking that? Because that's all it takes. That is all it takes. We can be so petty. So petty. But petty isn't the problem. It's merely the symptom. No, fear. Fear of disapproval. Rejection and judgment is the problem. That's the problem. That fear just stops us cold. The next day, I kept thinking what I could do. I want to go back. I remember thinking, I'm going to go back. I'm going to get another blue bottle. I'm going to just set it on the counter and say, "It's ritzy water, guy. Ring me up." I'm going to slide a nickel to her and say, "And here's a little something for you." But I didn't, because fear and better judgment. And because of fear, we so often refuse to step out and make the very connections that we ourselves so desperately desire, except with pets. It's the oddest thing. And it's because, unlike pets, people make us feel unacceptable and unworthy. Why do you suppose they do that, huh? I guess they don't mean to, mind you, most of the time. Just as you don't mean to make them feel that way. But you obviously do, and so do I, because how else could we all feel this way about them unless we're all part of them too? And if you really think about my story, she was actually just looking out for me at her own expense. She's going to lose the extra dollar. And I was judging her and rejecting her help and then punishing her by avoiding her. So here's a better question. Why do you suppose we do that? We don't mean to, mind you. I mean, most of the time. It's just that we mostly don't mean not to. Because that takes work. No, if I wanted to love that woman the way I love myself, you know, my neighbor as me, I would have gone back and bought a regular water and said something like, you know, you're right. They're all the same. I should have listened to you. And you know, if I had, we would have been instant friends, right? And after that, she would have been glad to see Water Guy come back in the store. Rather than, as I'm sure she was, glad I stayed away. But that takes humility. Humility and effort and practice and grace. Lots of grace. Because in case you haven't noticed, people in general can be fairly unlovable. They're lovable in theory. But practically speaking, have you met them? Practically speaking, it takes fierce determination, which takes powerful motivation, which can only come from the only one who is called the captain of their salvation, who said to us as believers, as I have loved you, so you must love one another, because by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love. This is your captain speaking, and he's saying that it's your turn and my turn to be the captain. Because by this, well, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious, to be put it real bluntly, right? Anyone who does not practice, love that they inserted that word, does not practice righteousness, what? What? Read it. Not of God. Nor the one who does not practice love. In fact, we, as believers, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love. That's how we know. And then look what it says. Because see, the guy who does not love, well, he still abides in death. This is life or death here. Noah boiled down his point last week to this. Do hard things. And I just love the simplicity of that. Well, I'm following that up with this. Do nice things, which is a subset because it's hard. But it's literally, spiritually, a matter of abiding in life and death. So how often do you step out and offer the, let's just say, compassion that you desire? It's funny, weird, because it actually takes very little effort, but quite a bit of boldness to risk opening up without knowing if you'll be rejected. Same trip, okay? I'm in this really cramped elevator, just stuffed with people, going up, the door's open, man in the middle, you know, pushes, works his way out, gets out, looks confused, very awkwardly scurries back in, just head down, doors shut. Everyone stops talking. And it's just silence in the elevator. No one's saying anything. Why would they? And I think, oh my goodness, I guess I'm the captain. So I said to no one in particular, I got out on the wrong floor, turned back too late just as the door shut. I felt like a complete idiot. I only speak the truth. Awkward guy says, I just did that a minute ago. Lady in the back goes, me too. I'm telling you, we could have made t-shirts. We were a club. We said goodbye to each other as we all got off the elevator, every floor. Bye, bye, have a good trip, you too. Why? Because we all long to belong, and that's all it takes. Them just need a captain. Last Sunday, I loved what Aaron said. Aaron called himself, I don't think he said it at second service. First service he did. He called himself the cruise director here. I like that. We might have to get him a hat. But it reminded me, that's kind of what sparked this, it reminded me of an analogy I really like, and it is this. It is looking at this planet of out of ours, which is sailing around the sun through the darkness of space down here, like a big old cruise ship. And every one of us will choose, has chosen, to relate to this world as one of three types of travelers. The entitled passenger, the lowly deckhand, or the courageous captain. You're all one of the three, and we're kind of all of them, but it's which one wins out most of the time. You see, entitled passengers complain and fuss when they're not being served or attended to their satisfaction, like me at the ABC. Lowly deckhands live life with their head down without any sense of power or authority. But courageous captains stride the deck of planet Earth with all authority, yet no sense of superiority, watching for ways to encourage and strengthen and care for their passengers and crew, even if it means going down with the ship for their salvation. So, which mostly are you, captain, passenger, or crew? Word of advice, be the captain. This is your planet, so own it. God's called and commissioned and commanded you. So fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you right now. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power. So there'll be no lowly deckhands in here, okay? And love, you know, the fearless love of a courageous captain. And self-control. So there'll be no entitled fussing or fits. We're called to be like the captain of our salvation. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and, you know, being dearly loved yourselves, clothe yourselves with what I'm going to call a captain's uniform of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love this line, bear with each other, because he knows what we're like. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on, well, fearless love, which binds them all together. Because by this, you will let the peace of Christ actually rule in your hearts. And when the peace from the dear love of Jesus Christ rules in us, it inspires us and empowers us. And don't you dare be saying to yourself, I just need more courage. I just need more boldness and courage. No, that's wrong. You don't. It's in you. He gave you the gift. It's in you. Don't deceive yourselves, because there is no fear in love. But perfect Captain Jesus love drives out fear. I'll give you a for instance that you'll have to admit is true of you. If you were at a campfire among total strangers, didn't know anybody else, and you and only you see a toddler falling into the flames, would shyness or embarrassment hold you back from springing into action? Of course not. Because in that moment, you are the captain, and you know it, and you live it. That's you. You see, shyness can't hold a candle to boldness when pure love is involved and people are falling in a fire. So let's be honest, at least with ourselves, we don't need more courage. We need more what? Love. We're brave enough. We just don't love them enough. That's what you pray for. Don't pray for courage. Pray for love. Lord, you'd be like the Grinch. Grow my heart. It needs to be a few sizes bigger, because pure Jesus-likeness love is the only motivation that will inspire and empower the fierce determination required for the vulnerable boldness required for offering the true love required of every courageous captain. And we will only choose to be vulnerable to the degree that our identity, our sense of self and self-worth is founded on God's love and grounded in God's word and is not contingent on the temperamental approval of mere mortals, or who I now like to call them, as I like to call them now, nose breathers. Nose breathers, because I found this passage. Look at this. This is wonderful. It's from Isaiah. Stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath. These old nose breathers. For of what account is he? What's the point? The point is, instead, remember and highly regard the one who put the breath inside those nostrils in the first place. Literally, the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living creature. So take a breath and watch for ways to be the captain and to care for the creatures traveling with you on this brief journey through the darkness down here. All I'm asking is you sacrifice just a little bit of self, okay? Just sacrifice a little bit of self for the sake of fanning into flame the gift of God which is in you. And do it for the sake of those around you. Stride the deck without fear of judgment. You're the captain. Stride that deck without fear of judgment, because fear is infectious, but courage is courageous. The first place I went gray was my chest, okay? I'm just going to bare my soul and my pecs to you for a moment. It was my chest, and so for reasons of pure vanity, I decided to get waxed before our trip to Hawaii. So I've been gray so long now that it don't matter anymore, but this was 25 pounds ago. So I'm sitting in a tiny, and I don't even know how many pounds of muscle ago, but that's gone too. So I'm sitting in a tiny waiting room at Screamin' Eve's. Anybody know Screamin' Eve's? I don't know if you want to admit it, but anyway. On one of two connected chairs, right, in this tiny waiting room, when this woman, a bit older than myself, enters, avoids eye contact, and sits in silence 3 inches from me. You know, we're just trying not to touch shoulders. Nothing said between us. We haven't made eye contact. And it's like a long couple minutes of awkwardness. And it's too late to say hello. So I just turned and said, I'm going to Hawaii, so I'm getting the gray hair waxed off my chest. To which she replies, I have a mustache. And it may be the most endearing thing a stranger has ever said to me. I have a mustache, he says, because fear is infectious, but courage is contagious. Nothing more said between us, no need. We both like breathed a sigh of relief because we connected, related, encouraged, comforted, and that's all it took. We were suddenly like soul siblings sitting there. We're just at ease with each other. Someone just had to go first. And that is the responsibility and duty of the captain, not the passengers, not the crew. Get your eyes off of them. But I want you to think about this woman, and I want you to think about her mustache. Because she was there simply because this mustache, which was barely visible, by the way, even 3 inches away, was really embarrassing to her. And yet she was happy, relieved even, to point it out to me. Why? Because there's a deep truth here. When you open up to them, they open up to you. Because we are all just waiting for a chance to confess our secrets. In fact, this one's a hard one. But in fact, if you rarely feel accepted, you're probably not perceived as accepting. Yeah, that's a tough one, isn't it? You've likely heard that every human heart has a God-shaped hole that can only be filled with Christ. So true. But did you know there's a human-shaped hole in every soul that can only be filled with Christ-likeness from one another? Like it or not, we can only close it up by opening up to those among us, which requires vulnerability, which requires courage, which of course requires love, which requires an intense sense of significance that can only come from the perfect love of our Creator and Savior. And it's odd how the Lord has made so much of our own healing down here contingent upon our own compassion and care and openness to those around us. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, right? Practice being open with your faults and flaws and fears. And pray for each other so that you may be healed, because that's how our healing comes. So show some courage and show us your weaknesses. Be vulnerable. Be the captain. Because vulnerability is not weakness. It is the force that joins us and heals us. And the enemy has a vested interest and a diabolical scheme in keeping this whole world in the dark, right? Discouraged and depressed and isolated and afraid of relating to you as openly and freely as they do their pets. So what are you going to do about it? How often do you offer the approval you desire versus the judgment you despise? I was eating breakfast in Waikiki by myself early in the morning. No one else was up. Little cafe. To my surprise, the pancakes were perfect. There's no way to describe it. They were perfect. I never knew I'd never had perfect pancakes till I had these. The air bubbles, the salted whipped butter, the thick coconut syrup. The birds were literally singing above in the trees. And as I finished, cheerful little guy comes out of the back, little man in checkered pants. He danced through the room saying hi and bye to every table and laughing as he left. And I thought to myself, he has to be the one that made my pancakes. Has to be. Because only that intensity of joy could produce something like this. And I had to know if he was. And so I quickly paid and I asked, who made my pancakes? And I was told, and I quote, the weirdo who just left. Of course, now I'm thinking to myself, oh, you mean the captain. Well, I ran a couple blocks before I found those checkered pants, and I pointed back toward that cafe and said, "You made the pancakes." And he said, "Yes." And I just yelled at him, "They were perfection." And I shook his hand and I left a $20 bill in it. And I said, "Thank you so much. You're incredible." And I turned and I jogged away. And then I hear him say, "Wow." And so I look back and he says, "You're welcome." And he does a little dance. He was a little weird. But who am I to judge? Leave that to the passengers, okay? That's not us. That is not us. We, you and I, we wear the captain's uniform of compassion and kindness and encouragement. Say that with me, please. We wear the captain's uniform of compassion and kindness and encouragement. That's us. So this week, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take charge of this ship. And I want you to smile and say hi to strangers. Okay? That's it. Just that. When you're out and about, smile. Just give a little nod and a smile and say hi. Real simple. Don't be weird. Just a real simple little thing. You be weird, it ruins the whole thing. It's just going to be simple. But here's the thing. If they say hi to you, you get nothing. If they ignore you and don't say hi, you get 1 point. Okay? And if they respond in a negative way, you get 10 points. Yeah, there you go. Keep track of your points. See if you can beat your high score every day. And I want you to do this because I'm telling you right now, you will absolutely know that you are the captain when scoring more points is more satisfying than fussing and pouting about how they treated you. When it's like, "Ooh, I just got 10. Rather than, "Well, I'm never saying hi to anybody else again." No, that's it. That's it. Just smile and say hi. This is what I want for our church. We would change this valley if we all just acted this way. So we just have to practice. I mean, we already have this ship. So be the captain, right? And not just any old captain. No, this is his place. You be the kind of captain that only the joy of the Lord could produce. Okay? Okay. Oh, no, that was an okay, not an amen. Either way, let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you, and we'll open up to others now because of you. Holy Spirit, inspire us to offer the kindness and compassion and encouragement that we desire. And Lord Jesus, oh, how can we thank you and praise you enough for being the source of the love that conquers our fear. And to that, everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.